You've heard our open themes with listeners talking about their vocations.
Missouri dairy farmers, love issues, etc.
And what they're doing while listening to Issues Etc.
This is Mark from Michigan, and I am a lawnmower listener. We love Issues Etc.
We're looking for more of these elements to include in our open themes. Tell us about your vocation, hobby, or what you do while listening to Issues Etc. Call the Issues Etc. comment line 24/7 at 618-223-8382. If you make a mistake, just start over. 618-223-8382. Thanks for listening, and thanks for contributing to Issues Etc. 618-223-8382.
Welcome back to Issues Etc. I'm Todd Wilkin. According to the Associated Press, out of Vatican City, the Vatican is celebrating the Big Bang to dispel faith-science conflict. Vatican isn't the only Christian organization that has made attempts to try and reconcile what they think is a biblical account of creation and what they say is a scientific account of the origins of the universe, the Big Bang. Joining us to talk about the Vatican on creation and the Big Bang, Dr. Danny Faulkner, astronomer, researcher, and speaker for Answers in Genesis, and author of the books Universe by Design and the new astronomy book. Dr. Faulkner, welcome back to Issues Etc.
Thank you. It's good to be back.
Of course, the Vatican isn't the only one to attempt to try and reconcile creation with the Big Bang. Why do so many Christians want to do this?
Oh, it's been the dominant idea about the origin of the universe for about a half century, and there just doesn't seem to be any other contender out there. The overwhelming majority of opinion of scientists is that the Big Bang is real, it happened. So I think a lot of Christians want to appear respectful. They want to be respected in the science circles. They don't want to be thought of being a Luddite or being stupid or something. So they just kind of go with the flow. And what they like about it is that it does posit that there was a beginning to the universe, which, you know, the alternative seems to be the universe is eternal. So they kind of latch on to it for those two reasons, I think.
Although beyond that superficial similarity with the creation account, there's not a lot of commonality between what the current version of the Big Bang theory and the creation account, is there?
No, I don't see so. I mean, the order of creation is wrong, the length of time involved in creation. There are other people who disagree with you and me on that, and my strong objection is that they tend to really lean on the understanding of Scripture. They try to come up with all sorts of inventive ways of how to interpret Genesis 1 to make it fit with this current scientific thinking, and that's dangerous. That's worse than eisegesis. That's just flat out wrong, I think.
So in other words, when attempts to reconcile the two are made, more often than not, what suffers is the actual creation account as recorded in Genesis.
Yep, they want to interpret Scripture in terms of science, what science is currently saying. And that's been done many times in the past with disastrous results every time it's happened.
You said that the consensus for kind of universe origins is, as I say, the biggest or the current version of the Big Bang theory. Is the theory without problem?
Oh, I think it's got plenty of problems. Throughout my professional career, I've seen the Big Bang model change remarkably. I note that the expansion rate of the universe was revised to 25 years ago or more. That changed the age. We were assured for years that the universe was 16 to 18 billion years. Now they're saying it's 13.8 billion years, give or take 1%. The Big Bang model had some problems we call the horizon and flatness problems that were well known in the 70s, and they solved it in the 80s, supposedly, by this thing called cosmic inflation, that right after the Big Bang, where I'm talking like 10 to the minus 34 seconds after the Big Bang, that's a point followed by like 34 zeros before you get to a 1. Seconds after the Big Bang, the universe went through this very rapid, faster-than-light expansion we call cosmic inflation. That's been invoked to explain at least two and maybe three problems the Big Bang model has. There's no evidence that inflation has indeed happened. Just yesterday, somebody called me and asked me about inflation. They asked, well, what stopped it? And I said, well, they don't know. They don't know what started it. They don't know what stopped it, but they're convinced it happened. So it's one of those little things you make up to salvage the theory. There have been all sorts of other fixes brought in to make things work. You know, for a long time, people didn't believe what we call dark matter. There's good evidence that dark matter exists. This is very strange stuff in the universe that dominates the matter of the universe, yet it doesn't give off any light. It doesn't seem to interact with matter, normal matter, in any other way other than gravity. And once astronomers were reluctantly taken to the existence of dark matter, then it's become this great rescuing device to solve other problems in the Big Bang. And that could go on and on. String theory has been invoked. All sorts of things have been added and tweaked. And the model bears almost no resemblance to the model of, say, 40 years ago when I was, you know, coming down the pike. So it's a very plastic model. It can be changed at will to meet any new problem or new challenge that comes along. And, you know, if a theory can be, it's so plastic that it can be altered to fit any new difficulties or problems or new data come along, then it explains everything and it explains nothing at the same time. And that's not really how science is supposed to work.
Dr. Danny Faulkner is our guest. We'll have him for a few minutes on the other side of the break. He's an astronomer, researcher, and speaker for Answers in Genesis, author of the books Universe by Design and the New Astronomy book. We're talking about the AP story on the Vatican attempting to reconcile the biblical account of creation with the Big Bang. Of course, as usual in those cases, the creation account suffers. We'll talk more about that after this.
Math, science, history, unraveling the mystery that all started with the Big Bang.
We love our on-demand listeners. You're listening to Issues, Etc.
Are you tired of working out at big box gyms? You'll find quality personal training and qualified instruction at Performance Fitness in Edwardsville. You can even work out for a full 30 days before making a commitment to join. Find out more at performancefitness618.com or call 618-692-5063. Performance Fitness is the facility in the St. Louis Metro East where the focus is on member results, not membership numbers. Performancefitness618.com.
Good Shepherd Lutheran Church in Collinsville, Illinois is happy to support the Christ-centered, cross-focused ministry of Issues, Etc. Join us for worship, Bible classes, youth ministry, and other opportunities to grow in Christ. We have a Christian day school for children in preschool to eighth grade. We are located at 1300 Beltline Road. Call us at 618-344-3151 or visit www.goodshepherdcollinsville.org.
Welcome back to Issues, Etc. I'm Todd Wilkin. We're talking about the Vatican on creation and the Big Bang. Dr. Danny Faulkner is our guest, astronomer, researcher, and speaker for Answers in Genesis, author of the books Universe by Design and the New Astronomy book. Dr. Faulkner, when attempts are made to reconcile the Genesis account with the current version of the Big Bang theory, we said before, it is the biblical account that suffers most. It doesn't seem like the Big Bang theory actually has to give anything up whatsoever, but what's usually left over of the Genesis account when these attempts are made?
Well, not too much. They have to play loose and free with the order of things. They argue, well, the creation of light there in verse 3 of the Genesis 1 account is the Big Bang itself, perhaps, with, you know, light emanator. It could be the what they call the age of recombination, a few hundred thousand years after the Big Bang. They've got a problem with the Earth existing very early on. The Earth is talked about very early on in the creation account, but the stars don't start appearing until day 4. And, you know, you've got a problem there because according to the Big Bang and the standard understanding of the development of the Big Bang and the universe is that there were many stars that existed for close to 9 billion years before the Earth even came on the scene. So they have to be very clever in how they interpret the existence of the Earth late early on and how they handle stars coming later on. They play very creative things. That, you know, the atmosphere of the Earth was opaque and didn't allow starlight to reach the ground. That was an idea that goes back to 100 years ago, but that was abandoned a long time ago. People are now thinking in the evolutionary framework that the Earth's atmosphere was transparent all this time, or nearly so. So they have to just play loose and free with that. They have to play loose and free with the order of the living organisms and how they came into being. We have flowering plants actually very early on day three, yet dinosaurs don't show up until day six. And according to the normal conventional dating, dinosaurs preceded flowering plants by quite a bit. So you go down the list, you start finding a mismatch everywhere, and rather than reinterpret the evolutionary worldview, people who try to do this just give up entirely sometimes on trying to make a match and just say, well, it's really not about the details. It's about who created. I once saw a church sign that said Genesis 1 is not about how, but about who. So the details don't matter. Well, once you start applying that hermeneutic to the Bible, you're in real trouble, because you can play loose and free with the Gospels, for instance. And that's a real problem. So it becomes down to Genesis 1 and 2, and even Genesis 3 mean nothing. They're just stories, and we've got to look for some deeper meaning behind it. Science supposedly tells us that, and I think you see that in a news account today of the this statement from the Vatican Observatory that the important thing is that God is a creator, and science tells us how. Well, I got news for you. Genesis 1, 2, and 3 actually gives you a lot of how, and you just have to ignore that if you're going to the details you have there, if you're going to say the Big Bang is somehow consistent with Scripture.
And really, doesn't God become, if one actually consistently does what you just described there and trying to reconcile the two things, God just becomes unnecessary. I mean, he's kind of there at the beginning to kind of give it a little shove, but beyond that, he yields to what any kind of naturalistic theory would describe, and doesn't have much to do with it. He might guide it or something like that, but that's not necessary. The evolutionist would say, why do you need any guidance if the thing runs itself?
Yeah, if you pay attention to what's going on with the theory of the Big Bang today, it is guided by very atheistic approaches. There are a number of different ways that people try to claim that the universe, the Big Bang, happened totally apart from any creator. You don't really need a God at all. You've hit the very important point there, that you're just kind of coming up after the fact, doing damage control, trying to stick a God's face on all of this, or his hand somewhere on this, and it's really unnecessary. That's a very, very important point that you made there.
Then, if we're looking, the Big Bang Theory is based, if I'm my layperson's understanding, based upon the fact we are watching a universe apparently expand, and we simply ask the question, let's run it backwards. Everything, rather than expanding, begins to converge, and eventually it converges upon one point of infinite density and energy and heat and all of those things. How would a creationist understand what appears to be the expansion of the universe? That's the basic, understanding of the thing. How would a creationist understand the expansion of the universe other than the way the Big Bang Theory does, which is running the clock backward to a singularity?
Well, the Big Bang is simply one interpretation of that. The universe appears to be expanding. The expansion itself is an interpretation of the data. The data are actually that there's a relationship between what we call redshift of galaxies and their distances. It's called the Hubble relation, discovered 90 years ago by Evan Hubble. But the interpretation is it's expanding, and I have no quarrel with that. I think it's a pretty good interpretation. But if you even accept that, then what happened in the past is conjecture. If you want to extrapolate that, billions of years into the past, then maybe you get a Big Bang, but it's not the only possibility. The steady state theory with universe always is expanded and always will, it's eternal. That was a very dominant theory before the Big Bang was, based upon expansion. There have been a couple of creation scientists who have attempted to develop a cosmology. Russ Humphreys is one, John Hartman's another, based upon this observed expansion of the universe. They might quibble about if it's really expanding or not, but they would agree that it appears to be. But if the universe has only been around for thousands of years, then there certainly hasn't, as I think Scripture indicates, then there's not been enough time for that expansion to lead you back to a singularity beginning Big Bang of the universe. I think that for whatever reason, God made the universe expanding. I don't know why yet. I've been puzzling over that for years. But it doesn't necessarily have to lead you back to a Big Bang. That's just one possibility, and people seem to think, well, it's the only solution, and it clearly is not. There are many other possibilities.
Dr. Danny Faulkner is an astronomer, researcher, and speaker for Answers in Genesis. He is author of the books Universe by Design and the New Astronomy book. You'll find a link to Answers in Genesis at our website, issuesetc.org. Click Listen on Demand. Dr. Faulkner, thank you very much.
Well, it's been a pleasure.
Tomorrow on Issues Etc., we'll discuss millennial couples choosing pets over children with Shane Morris. We'll get a review of the movie Guardians of the Galaxy Volume 2 with Pastor Ted Giese, and we'll get a biography on 9th century missionaries to the Slavs, Cyril and Methodius, from Dr. David Coles. Look, things look like they're spreading out, and of late, scientists have explained it with something like the Big Bang Theory. Give it 100 years, they might come up with another explanation. We know where it all came from. The one who made it has told us. I'm Todd Wilkin. Thanks for listening to Issues Etc.
Listen weekday afternoons to Pastor Todd Wilkin and guests on Issues Etc. Issues Etc. is a listener-supported program. Your financial support is vital for the continuation and expansion of this worldwide outreach. Our mailing address, Issues Etc., P.O. Box 83, Collinsville, Illinois, 62234. Box 83, Collinsville, Illinois, 62234. You can also donate at our website, issuesetc.org. Issues Etc. is a production of LPR, Lutheran Public Radio.